بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, very dear friend of mine responded to the Fajr reminder with regard to kindness and the story of Abu Mahdura رضي الله عنه and his within quotes conversion from being somebody who was mocking Sayyidina Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu in the Adhan to becoming the Muazzin of the Haram in Mecca and doing that job for the whole of his life. And this friend of mine, quite understandably, he said that it's an extraordinary story. He didn't say, is it true? Because, I mean, alhamdulillah, he trusts me on that. But the point is that it is an extraordinary story. So, first and foremost, this is a hadith from, this whole story is in the hadith narrated by Abu Mahdura, radiallahu anhu, in Sunan An-Nasai. And it is a hadith which is classed as Hasan. So, alhamdulillah, it is definitely authentic. It is also available in the Seerah from other sources. So there is no doubt about the authenticity of this story, inshallah. Second thing is, the point that I would want to make is that first is really the first point, which is that why are we surprised at the extraordinary nature of a story like this? For the simple reason that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are many such stories. Abu Mahdura is not the only one. One of the stories which we hear all the time, and this story concerns a woman who was obviously not even Muslim, who used to throw garbage. She used to wait for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to come down that path, and she would throw garbage in front of him. Some people have said on him. I don't think she would throw it on him, in front of him, so that he would, you know, trip over it or something, or have to deal with it. And not once did Rasulullah ﷺ reprimand her on that. On the contrary, when the days that she did not throw it, he stopped by the house to inquire about her. And then we know what happened. So the point is that how normal, within quotes, is that kind of an action? Similarly, another one, again from Makkah, where Rasulullah ﷺ he came out of his house, he was going somewhere, he saw this elderly woman standing by the roadside, again, non-Muslim woman, with her baggage. So he asked her, can I help you? Do you need some help with the baggage? She said, yes, I need to go to the place where the caravans go from. So Rasulullah ﷺ picked up her bags, and now they're walking there, and he asked her, where are you going? She said, I'm leaving Makkah. So he said, why? She said, because there is this man who started a new religion. He is preaching, worshipping one God and, you know, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he's changing our ways, and he's doing this and he's doing that. And I mean, basically criticizing him, basically, says that she's constantly Muhammad this, Muhammad that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until they reached the place where the caravans depart from. And so he put her bags where he was supposed to put them. She was very grateful to him, very thankful to him. And she said to him, I don't know your name. He said, my name is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she was shocked. She said, which Muhammad? He said, the same one that you were talking about. Now, the point is that there are so many such stories. There are so many such stories. There was a story about this young boy, a Jewish boy, this is in Medina, where this Jewish boy used to be around Rasulullah ﷺ. You know, to use an American term, he used to hang out with Rasulullah ﷺ. I mean, one does not like to use such terms for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but just so that people understand. So he would just be there, meaning hang out, meaning there wasn't any particular purpose. He was not attending a class or something. He was just there. Now, first and foremost question to ask is, why was he there? Didn't he have anything else to do? I mean, why didn't he have friends? I mean, what kind of a kid was this? I mean, weren't there any Jewish people he could hang out with or somebody else or whatever, right? Why was he constantly in the company of Rasulullah anyway? So anyhow, and obviously the answers to all of this is, I'm just asking you rhetorical questions. I'm sure you know the answers to that. He used to be there because that was the nicest place for him to be. He loved the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he didn't show up for a couple of days. So Rasulullah asked people, what happened to him? Where is this boy? They said, Ya Rasulullah, he is very grievously ill and he looks like he's going to die. So Rasulullah said, take me to his place. Now, when he's saying take me to his place, obviously it means that this is the first time he's going there. He hasn't been there before. He probably does not know where this boy lived. So they take him to his place, and there he finds this boy lying on the bed, and obviously he seems to be way gone, you know, perhaps close to his death. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sits down by his side, and on the other side of the bed is the father of the boy. Obviously it's in the house, so it's not some secret meeting which is happening. We don't know who else is in the room, but anyway, so we have this boy on the bed. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting by his side, and this father is standing on the other side of the bed. Obviously, Jewish boy, Jewish father. Rasulullah says to the boy, he takes the boy's hand in his hand and he says to the boy, accept. Say, Ashad Qulu La ilaha illallahu tuflihu. He says, say La ilaha illallah and be successful. Accept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one worthy of worship and that I am his prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am his messenger, I am his last and final messenger. So he says to him, words to this effect, the boy looks at the father. And the father says, do what Abul Qasim is telling you to do. So he is referring to Rasulullah ﷺ also by his kunya, which is a sign of high respect in Arab society. And his kunya was Abul Qasim. So he says, do what Abu Qasim. Now think about this, here is this Jewish father, his son is dying, and his son is Rasulullah is effectively telling him convert to Islam, and the Jewish father is telling him go ahead, do that. You know, think about that. Now, how does this happen? And how extraordinary is that? So my point is that there are many such extraordinary stories. Take the conversion of Abu Sufyan. Take the conversion of Khalid bin Walid, radiallahu anhuma, Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, these two accepted Islam at the same time at the hand of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Khalid bin Walid and comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, literally his hands painted red with the blood of the shuhada of Uhud, right? Amr ibn al-As is his close companion. Abu Sufyan comes to Rasulullah Sallam completely and totally reluctantly. He's brought as a prisoner because he got caught when he was trying to spy just before Fatah Makkah. He's brought to the presence of Rasulullah Sallam by Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. And even there, and this is a sign of the integrity of Abu Sufyan also, radiallahu anhu, where when Rasulullah Sallam said, do you accept Islam? He said, I'm willing to accept that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, but I'm not willing to accept you as the messenger of Allah. Now this is it takes a high level of integrity and of courage to, in that situation where quite literally your life is at stake, to say that I will not say something which I really don't believe, right? So of course there is that aspect to it. But despite that, Rasulullah ﷺ did not order him to be killed or anything. And Abu Sufyan did not accept Islam at that time. He did not accept Islam at the time. And Nabi ﷺ set him free. So here he's setting free his worst enemy. And then he said to Al-Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, he said, take him and show him, take him to that place. And he showed him a place which was high up on a hill. He said, take him up there, let him see the army that is there with me. Because I don't want any needless adventurism which might end up with people being killed. We want to save lives, so we don't want anything to happen. And take him and show him there and then release him in a place where he is safe to go back home. Now, Abu Sufyan then accepted Islam after Fatah Makkah, after everything was done and dusted. That is when Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, accepted Islam. all of these people who I mentioned, Abu Sufyan, Amr ibn al-As, Khalid bin Walid, Al-Wahshi, also, for example, who Wahshi bin Harb, who also accepted Islam and came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after having made Shaheed Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. All of these people, they accepted Islam at the hands of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which was an extraordinary thing. And then they remained completely and totally steadfast on that for the rest of their lives. And they think about that as well. So here we are talking about not one so-called conversion of the heart because of kindness. We are looking at a number of them throughout the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People who were his sworn enemies, people who, if they had half a chance to kill him, they would have killed him. There's no doubt about that. They would have absolutely killed him without blinking an eye. They converted to Islam and several of them, like Abu Sufyan, like Khalid bin Walid, Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhum, all of them, they literally had blood on their hands. They had killed Muslims. Despite that, despite that, when they converted to Islam, Rasulullah, because of the kindness of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he not only did not punish them and so on, but when they converted to Islam, they became some of the strongest and most steadfast supporters of Islam and of Rasulullah. This is what kindness does. Is it difficult? Of course it is difficult. But that's the reason why we're talking about it. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. It is difficult. It is, and that is the reason why it is so miraculous, and that is the reason why Rasulullah is such a beautiful example for us to follow. And of course, bottom line of this is that is the reason why we need to study the seerah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased, and to enable us to follow the beautiful sunnah of his Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika rahman rahim. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.